Blog Talk Radio.
In the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living, should I blast myself? I'm proud of being born, even worse, I'm black, my stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro, pull a trigger, killing, he's a hero. Get it to the kids, who the hell cares? One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship them, don't let them deal a brother. Give them guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brother, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how I was supposed to be. How can the devil take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids and then hang. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Disgrace the racist, we under, I wonder what it takes to make this one better place, let's erase the waste. Take the evil out the people, they'll be acting right. It's both black and white, it's both tonight. And the only time we chill is when we kill each other. If they kill, so we real time to heal each other. And although it seems evident, we ain't ready to see a black president. It ain't a secret, don't conceal the fact. A penitence we stack, and it's filled with blacks. But some things will never change. Try to show another way, but you're staying in the dope game. Now tell me what the mother to do. Being real don't appeal to the brother in you. You gotta operate the easy way.
I made a G today,
but you made it in a sleazy way. Selling sex to the kids,
I gotta get paid.
But hey, well, that's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Make a change. It's time for us as a people to start making some changes. Let's change the way we eat, let's change the way we live, and let's change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we gotta do to survive. And still I see no changes. Can a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East. Instead of war on poverty, they got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did a crime I ain't have to do. But now I'm back with the back, giving it back to you. Don't let them jack you up, back you up, crack you up, and pimp smack you up. You gotta learn to hold your own. They get jealous when they see you with your mobile phone. But tell the cops I can't touch this. I don't trust this. When they try to rush, I bust this. That's the sound number two. You say it ain't cool. But it raised no fool. And as long as I stay black, I got a stage strap. And I never get to lay back, cause I always gotta worry about the payback. So
yo, turn this motherfucking shit up.
For the blood in my arm, the black is for the gun in my palm, and the green is for the trauma.
red line, fuck a cop, hip hop. Make your head bob, bounce to this socialist movement. My environment made me the nigga I am. Uncle Sam came and got me and the rest of my fam. Try to infiltrate and murder off the best of my clan. I'm not American, punk, Democrat, or Republican, remember that. Most of the cats, you know, be hustling. My mama worked all her life and still struggling. I blame it on the government and say it on the radio. And if you don't already know, all these Uncle Tom ass-kissing niggas got to go.
Brothers have gained their independence faster than you and I here in America have. They've also gained recognition and respect as human beings much faster than you and I. Just 10 years ago on the African continent, our people were colonized. They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of Asian. And in a short time, they have gained more independence, more recognition, more respect as human beings than you and I have. And you and I live in a country which is supposed to be the citadel of education, freedom, justice, democracy, and all of those other pretty sounding words. We want freedom by any means necessary. We want justice by any means necessary. We want equality by any means necessary. We don't feel that in 1964, living in a country that is supposedly based upon freedom and supposedly the leader of the free world, we don't think that we should have to sit around and wait for some segregationist congressmen and senators and a president from Texas in Washington, D.C. to make up their mind that our people are due now some degree of civil rights. No, we want it now or we don't think anybody should.
I got loyalty inside my DNA. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. Flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, and sworn like this. Immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this. Wish y'all shoot a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate. Then off your fucking head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart. DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a bitch, your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I been through probably offend you, this is Paula's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've been so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to, antisocial extrovert. And excellent mean an extra work. And absentness, what the fuck you hurt? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff gonna be this case. The reason my power's here on earth. Salute the truth and the prophecy. I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA.
This is why I say that hip-hop has done more damage to young African-Americans than racism in recent years.
I live about my DNA.
This is my heritage, all I'm inheriting. Money and power, the Mecca, emeritus. Tell me something, you motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation, but DNA an abomination. This how I dish when you in the matrix, out your bullets, reaping what you're sowing, stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the pillar, sipping from a Grammy, walking in the building, diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floor, speeches out the window, peeking out the window, baby in the pool, Godfather calls, only Lord knows. I've been going hammer, dodging paparazzi, freaking through the cameras, eat it for a daughter's rock, wearing sandals, yoga on a Monday, stretching in the banner, watching all the snakes. Curving all the fakes, phone never owned, I don't camera sex, I don't compromise, I just penetrate, sex, money, murder, these are the breaks, these are the times, level number 9, look up in the sky, tennis on the way, tennis on the way, tennis on the way, motherfucker, I got winners on the way, you ain't shit without a buddy on your belt, you ain't shit without a ticket on your plate, you ain't sick enough to put it on yourself, you ain't rich enough to hit the ladder gate, tell me when destruction gonna be my fate, gonna be a fate, gonna be a fate, peace to the world, let it rotate, sex, money, murder, I do.
Tupac Shakur! is a child of the 60s. Tupac Shakur, born out of the spirit of the revolution of the 60s. Tupac Shakur, fire in his bones. Huh? Boldness and rebellion in his blood. Born from his beautiful, bold Black Panther mama, Afeni, sitting in the jail cell, a revolutionary woman carrying the fruit of life, mocking the child in her womb, mocking the child with rebellion, mocking the child with insurrection, mocking the child with a spirit to not go along with what's been going on. When you got a generation like that, you've got to work with them. You've got to mold them and shape them and fashion them
to our program for the future.
Economy right now, it's extremely supporting of the president and his policy.
FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage. Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
So-and-so and a white fascist. Like they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
You can't fool all the people all of the time, but if you fool the right one, then the rest will fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying, cause Uncle Sam got a plan. If you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation. Feeding our children miseducation. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life on Mars, or what they doing when they up in the stars. Because I don't believe a word of what the president said. He's filling our heads with lies, got us hypnotized when he be speaking in cold words about crime and poverty, drugs, welfare, prisons, guns, and robbery. It really means us. There's no excuse for the slander, but what's good for the goose is still good for the gander, see.
I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't want no computer chip in my arm. I don't want to die by a nuclear bomb. I say we all rush the Pentagon. Pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words would be, I believe man made God. Out of ignorance and fear, if God made man, then why the hell would he put us here? I thought he supposed to be the all-loving, the same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all this half-ass leadership. Flipping position, they turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Boy, your TV screen telling lies to your vision. Every channel got some brainwashed cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot. But Buster, can you tell me who's greedier? The big corporations, the pigs or the media. Sign of the times, terrorism on the rise. Commercial airplanes falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown, who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found. It's not coincidence. There's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics, but it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core, cause if they make us all panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news, propaganda. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. You killed Huey because you knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news, motherfucking propaganda. KKK,
great love and a great understanding, and that we try to extend this to the general black population and also people, oppressed people all over the world. And I think that we differ from some other groups simply because we understand the system better than most groups understand the system. And with this realization, we attempted to form a strong political base based in the community with the only strength that we have, and that's the strength of a potentially destructive force if we don't get freedom.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. I hope pearly white teeth fall off the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end, and nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be forts supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will fall off the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is going to be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jew merchants will give away monster balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Schiffman will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, afros are going to be trying to straighten their heads, and straighten heads are going to be trying to wear afros. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes.
But until then, you know, and I know, niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit.
Liberation of oppressed people in the United States has to do not with climbing up some ladder to success, not for asking to be just like Rockefeller or just like DuPont or just like Ford, because that would only continue the oppression and exploitation of oppressed people in the United States, and specifically African people born and raised in the United States. Socialism is an integral part of building social justice on this planet. The condition of my people, my history, was very much connected with other oppressed people, and I began to see that the same foot that was on the necks of the Vietnamese people, that was on the necks of all oppressed people on the planet, was the same foot that was on my neck. And so I began to understand that imperialism has to go. It is a poison that is killing people all over this world. The priorities of this planet have to be completely changed. And instead of profits, instead of policies that destroy the earth, that destroy the water, that destroy human beings, I believe a policy that protects people, that makes people live in a community, a world community, that's what I believe. That's my basic political commitment.
About capitalism, who are the capitalists? As if we understand that there are only a few people who own and control the means of production in the society, then we begin to understand that there are a few capitalists. And these capitalists exploit everybody because everybody works for them. Everybody sells their labor to them. It is by selling your labor to a capitalist that he's really able to exploit you. Instead of going through theories, let me give some direct example. Let's say that I'm a capitalist. And let's say that I sell shirts. I have a shirt factory. Let's say this is my factory. I own it. The machinery. I have a place where I get cotton. Now, I own it. I'm the capitalist. And let's say you are my workers. You are my workers. You don't know me. You never see me. You see my lackeys, you know, maybe my foreman, but you never see me. Now, let's say it costs me 50 cents for cotton for every shirt I make. And let's say it costs me 50 cents for upkeep of my machinery. That's a dollar. And let's suppose I pay you a dollar for every shirt you make. That means it costs me $2 to get a shirt, labor included, your labor. I pay you for making the shirt. Now, when I sell the shirt, being a capitalist, and you must know something about capitalism, very important. The sole motivating force in a capitalist society is profit. Profit. That is the sole motivating force. Profit. Get money. Get it. Get it as fast as you can. Get it any way you can, but get it. Just get it. Just get it. And even in the African community, it affects us here in this country because Africans, those of us living in America, those of us born in America, we are imbued with the philosophy of capitalism, and sometimes we don't even recognize it. Thus, you find brothers and sisters even selling dope to their brothers and sisters to make money. Again, because we're imbued with the philosophy of get some money. Ain't nothing wrong to kill for money. Hell, your country is napalming for money. You can certainly kill for some money. All right, just get it. Just get it. It's the overall philosophy. When we talk about revolution, we must talk about changing values. We must talk about changing values, and we must understand these values. To the shirt factory. I've not forgotten. I'm just going to tie it in. I'll tie it in for you. You will see, you must look under the shirt factory, too. You must look for spiraling economy. That's very important, spiraling economy. I sell the shirt for $5. I don't do anything. You're the one who makes the shirt. I'm exploiting your labor. You toil, you sweat, I get the fruit. That's right, I get it. But you grow it, you plant it by the sweat of your brow. I get it. I sell the shirt for $5. I am exploiting your labor. I really am exploiting your labor. I mean, even when you want a shirt, hey, you got to come to my store and buy the shirt for $5. Hey, I really am exploiting you. Now, you're workers, you're in a factory, so you begin to get social consciousness. Yes, you do. Marx talks about this. Because you're working together, you see the socialized process, the laboring process, and you're able to see clearly how you're being exploited. So you get together, and you start talking about, we want more money. So you tell my foreman we want more money. So the foreman comes to see me. He says, the workers say they want more money. Later for them. Keep them working, man. So he comes back, no raise. They all work, but you all get a little bit more agitated, you know, because it's scientific. The pressure rises, and as the pressure rises, the consciousness must rise. It's scientific. It can't be stopped. That's why revolution can't be stopped. Then you say, hey, look here. We're going to strike. So the foreman comes back and says, hey, they say they're going to strike. I say, oh, let them strike, man. And sure enough, you all strike. Yeah, you all strike on me. Now, when you strike, of course, my machinery stops. I ain't making no money. So after a while, I call my foreman. I said, what do they want? He says, well, they said they want $1.50 more a shirt. They want 50 cents more a shirt. So I said, okay, let them have it. So I'll bring you back. You happy? I pay you $1.50 more. Right. So it now costs me $2.50 to make a shirt. It costs me $2.50 to make a shirt. Before, it cost me $2. I was selling it for $5. But hey, look here. I can't go out there and keep selling it for $5. Hey, how am I going to do that? I'm going to lose profit. And look here. Since the sole motivating force in a capitalist system is profit, ain't no need for me to come and sell it for $5.50. Hey, no. Next time you see that shirt on the market, it's going to cost you $7.50.
Power, Black Nation. Into In Defense of the People, weekly Tuesday night broadcast at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, People's Political Party National Chair, Nat Turner, co-host, myself, National Minister of Defense, Brother Motherland, and our engineers on the ones and twos, Sister Amina. National Minister of Communications, calling each and every Tuesday night, same black place, same black time at 845-277-9266. Press 1 to participate. Tonight's topic, the latest report on the war front. We're going to open up our line style national chair, Nat Turner. Black Power when Yahoo, comrade, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Seemed like you was going in and out a little bit, but I can hear you. As usual, you know, we anticipate we can anticipate whatever you know, shenanigans or tactics that may be used to try to stifle the radio show. You know, it is what it is. We come with the real. That's not to say that other radio shows are not, but we make every attempt to be as realistic, as practical as possible, considering the material conditions that we find ourselves in collectively. Those experiences that that drive a lot of us to the brink, all across the board, economically, you know, financially, whatever, socially, the culture, politically, of course. And, we wanted to, you know, just cover some ground on the war front, you know, like report the latest on the war front. What we mean by war front is an array of things, not in the abstract, in real time. When you know, when you say war front, people usually associate that with, you know, like what's going on in Ukraine, you know, two opposing sides on the battlefield across from each other, you know, with a high-powered weaponry or whatever. In these various forms. There's a war going on here against black people, black and brown people on a much larger basis due to the irreconcilable relationship that we have with the state. The state is the politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police who work in a concerted effort to keep the structure intact. It's it can be rather difficult sometimes to try to find not so brutal terms or words. I only say that, you know, just to keep those of us who are not as advanced, who are not as farther along as organization, as a People's Political Party or the Black Militant Movement, and so we are very mindful of that. But what we mean by the report on the war front is the things that take place collectively, the things that we go through. Some of these incidences become more. Gets nationalized more than others. There are some that are very brutal that don't reach the national attention. And we just wanted to go over a few of these things in the recent times. One, it has become kind of sort of high profile. But, you know, we want to, again, you know, welcome those who are listening to In Defense of the People Radio. You know, political education, for the most part, developing a political understanding and the heighten our people's conscious level. So our response can increase as other oppressed peoples have had to bear the brunt of the blow of the racist capitalist system. Hedged in white supremacy, white male patriarchal rule, which is brutal. Lead to brutal conditions for our people collectively, the descendants of Africans who were brought here and turned into slaves by force, violence of force, or threatened with violence if they didn't perform the laborious task, which resulted into the mass accumulation of wealth by a handful of white men who established a corporation, a company, and just called it, the United States of America, confederated city states, what have you. Later, it's been going on, for those of us who are conscious of it, as of late, there's been the trial of Oprah Wallace, who many of us know as Ozone, young brother who answered the call with a black militia that has become known as the NFAC, Not Fucking Around Coalition, from my understanding of the acronym. Which had its buzz for a short while. Its leader is now a prisoner of war and will be away from the people for a number of years. But this young brother answered that call, as did a lot of others. And sort of a transition from one stage to the next, if I may put it that way, ended up in a situation accused of murdering a Florida officer, as the general public understands the term. We see pig, which is a strictly political term based on the relationship. We don't use terms loosely. We use those terms because of an experience with an unruly people. And it is a natural response in nature that if one man treats another man in such painful ways, then that man's pain develops into something, and more times than not, it turns into a an attitude which reaches its highest stage, and that highest stage is undoubtedly and historically has always been as a revolutionary to transform his conditions, to alleviate his pain out from underneath that which has put him in those conditions. This past week, Ozone's trial had, been taking place, and we give credit to a young brother named O.C. the Great, who has a YouTube channel and was able to tap into the local affiliate in the state of Florida to be able to show a broadcast even on his YouTube channel, which those of us who watched it were able to check out the court proceedings. Brother was at an apartment complex, minding his own business, sitting in a car and, getting ready to exit and enter unit, the residence property. And he was approached by Pig Rainer, who, according to the body cam, was asking him certain questions, and Ozone had the right to ask what's going on because he hadn't broken any laws. This is all in the legal realm, supposedly protected by the Constitution. And one thing led to the next, and Ozone decided to take the stand himself. And this is key when it comes to witnesses. And so there's a number of things I just want to try to get into. Hopefully I'm able to do a good job, as I always strive to do so every show. You know, just jotted down some notes or some things to be able to, you know, cover. but him being the only witness, which means, therefore, the jury, the selected jury, more times than not, you know, is held to the testimony of witnesses in whatever cases. And so here, Ozone was the only witness. And so there's only the account, you know, that Ozone was able to tell in, you know, cases where he had gotten up and, you know, even demonstrated his how they had gotten into the position that they were in and what led to the officer being shot. And again, of course, Ozone hadn't broken any laws. These going back and forth about the officers, probable cause and whatnot, some alleged stolen vehicle, what have you, or something like that, you know, to that effect. But the whole point is, it's predicated on the fact that the brother hadn't broken any laws of death. It was his right to leave peacefully and hadn't broken any laws. And Rayner decided to put his hands on him. And in ensuing struggle, Ozone had saw Pig Rayner reaching, you know, toward his belt. And, of course, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that he's reaching for his weapon. And so those being the two only witnesses there, Ozone had every right to defend for his life. There was no time to, you know, sit here and think, let me see here. Was what it was. We can reverse this around. You know, Ozone can be white and the officer could be like, we can flop it around, flip it around, toss it up which way you want. But there seems to be this perception of white officer who has the these exceptions to the rule, so to speak. You know, the value of white blood, the high value of white blood, here's what I'm saying to you. So anyway, Ozone admitted to shooting the officer in defense for his life. And again, there was one witness there left, you know. And that is the crux of the trial. That is the crux of the trial, which means the jury had to depend on that. The jury had to see that as their predicate, you know, to reach a verdict. There was no other possibility other than the prosecution's strategy, maneuver, tactic, one out of sheer desperateness, if I will say that, to construct a case against Ozone. And he didn't have too many options. he only had basically one option. And that option was to go into Ozone's social media account and retrieve every statement, comment that he could find to persuade the jury that Ozone was a pig-hating cop killer. With no regard for life in any way, shape, or form, or whatsoever, that he somehow had come out of his mother's womb and was a small child, and grew into a little boy, that ended up being a teenager, and who had crossed over into a legal young adult, old enough to buy, you know, liquor, and just happened to turn into a cold-blooded cop killer for no apparent reason at all. So the prosecution, you know, had gotten all of his posts or what have you, and they methodically went through them and found what they believe would be the most damning statements, comments, posts, or response back and forth with other individuals on the social media and whatnot. And that was all they had. And this quest or obsession to get the death penalty, which was their ultimate goal, you know, to once found guilty, but they had to establish that first and then make their move to get a death sentence come sentencing day. And there's this also the strategy. We had done a show a while back on him, and we had pointed out what is the, you know, the prerequisites for getting a death penalty. There's this thing called the three aggravators, you know. And, of course, one of them is to paint him as a cold-blooded, cold and calculating cop killer who had no regard for life. And Officer Anna was upstanding, so and so, you know, the usual spiel on, you know, on the police officer, what have you. And so that, like I said, that was the prosecution's mission. And that mission failed. There were those who thought that Ozone may have made a mistake in testifying. The judge, these terminology we use, a posse blanc, you know, type judge here, who appears to have had some measure of competence, and you know, it's hard to actually believe that that is possible when you look at the judicial system, the historical narrative of the judicial system in black men. You know, there are those I would be willing to bet who understood and believed that even the ancestors was with this young brother. That's a whole nother realm there. But we just wanted to add that for the record. But anyway, you know, in the process leading up to Ozone testifying, the judge, you know, explained to him and, you know, his option and whatnot and what would be what would transpire. He had, let him know that he would be severely cross-examined and whatnot. But in recognition of, being the only witness, that was a good move on his part. There was no other witness to contradict the story. And there are those who would have us believe that he had time to, construct a narrative that would clear him of any wrongdoing. And of course we know that 9 times out of 10 those would be, the white individuals and whatnot. You see people going back and forth on these little chat room and whatnot and stuff like that, so it becomes obvious of what it is. But that in itself, of course, it still tells you where we're at here. This black and white thing is like, it ain't going anywhere anytime soon. It's just a irreconcilable relationship between two groups of people. One group feels that it's okay, it's cool to get on top by proxy and then pass the shit on down to the descendants, and descendants can play, they can play stupid. They can turn the light switch off and on whenever they get ready, go stuck on stupid like they don't understand anything, and then 1 minute, telling you about the 4th of July and how great George Washington was and all this other shit about the American Revolution and so forth. It's like a light switch, selective amnesia whenever they want to. But, again, there was no other telling of any other story or narrative. And that pretty much handcuffed the jury. It handcuffed the jury to a great extent, considering the fact that from the very beginning, Ozone had been thrown into the media spotlight as a cop killer, which is the usual strategy on the part of the corporate controlled media, which is also a wing of the state, to do its part, to do what is referred to as public prosecution, public persecution, before a trial even gets anywhere near underway. And this is one of the things that was recognized by his legal counsel, seeking to have the trial moved to another location. All these were strategic moves on their part. And so the verdict was one of manslaughter. And that tells you right there, even in that, that the manslaughter, of course, obviously, can be appealed at a future date. Manslaughter can be, two individuals fighting and, hit the other, and the other happened to lose his balance and, fall and hit his head, something like that, manslaughter, but anyway, that in itself tells you that the jury was handcuffed, and they had to find some kind of way. Again, it's hard to believe, that Europeans, can actually be decent, considering the relationship. And of course, all white people ain't bad and whatnot. I've heard that millions of times before and whatnot. But being realistic, they come to a charge of manslaughter, and that in itself lets you know that this death penalty thing wasn't going to shake. It could be no death penalty in any way, shape, or form. Again, he's the only witness. So what else could be, could the jury go on? And the prosecution establishing, trying to, use psychology. And, we have to understand that, that these prosecutors, when they you know, people who get into that type of field, law, and want to, you know, have a life where they can keep, you know, food on the table. They, you know, want to be an attorney or, you know, they take philosophy class in college. You know, they believe in the Greek philosophy, so-called Greek philosophy, you know, logic and persuasion, and so forth. You know, which is very vital in using in any court case. Those of us old enough to remember, we got a strong dosage of that with the Trayvon Martin case and how Zimmerman ended up being not guilty. You know, and it was a classic case, you know, where the defense flipped the script and turned Trayvon into the monster here, and which therefore gave Zimmerman the legitimacy to execute Trayvon Martin. And so that was is a clear case of how, you know, when you take philosophy class and you learn these tricks of the trades and stuff like that, you know, and you know, the jurors don't, you know, like the average juror doesn't really understand that. They don't really, they're not really cognizant of this kind of shit. You see what I'm saying? And so that's what, in some cases, puts them at a disadvantage because they don't know that they're being worked on, you know. And so this prosecutor, you know, kept using the same social media comments of Ozone and spent them 10 different ways with the same objective, the same goal. And his mission, his objective was to get Ozone to contradict himself, you see. And, you know, when, you know, the speed at which the prosecutor, you know, was working at, so much so to the point where the judge himself had to slow the prosecutor down and tell the prosecutor, well, you ask him a question, let him answer it. Give him time, you know, to answer your question. That was done strategically. That was done strategically to put Ozone under duress, where he's being subjected, and so therefore he loses his complete train of thought, and he so-called slips up. And how would that look in front of the jury? You see, and that's the only call that the prosecutors had. That's why he kept, you know, he would pick up the big, you know, cardboard and quote unquote, and he kept going back around to it. You know, I verbatim, that is, you know, I look forward to the day when I so-called this, that, in the pig's blood and all this kind of shit. And he kept going back to it because of all he had. He couldn't build any other thing. He couldn't build any other case. And even when the defense had another pig, who may have been in, you know, the instructor and whatnot, and they're going over ethics. You know, they're going over ethics and these things that they're supposedly inculcate, you know, or internalize in the academy and whatnot. And he was picking holes in it. He was picking holes in it. You know, and it was very clever on his part. You know. And he had no choice but to bring up the historical relationship between black men and the police, the so-called poor neighborhoods, underserved communities, and the police, and you know, and whatnot. You know, he was establishing a pattern here. He was establishing the pattern that says in so many words that you know, like I was saying, that he just didn't, Ozone just didn't emerge out of his mother's womb and just started hating police, and he set the tone. He laid down the foundation of it all, you know. And you know, Ozone is explaining the nature of the comments. You know, he's explaining the nature of his comments to bring context to what he's saying. And so the prosecutor is going around, you know, around the board. In other words, he starts off on one, and then he goes on two, then he goes on three, then he goes on four, and he comes back to one by the time Ozone is trying to finish with four. And so he goes back to one. And then when Ozone is trying to answer one, he's on three. And so he's trying to move ahead of him to get him to crack the break, you know. And Ozone, you know, he was able to manage this psychological attack, you know. The prosecutor looking for, you know, the break in the ice, so to speak, with the ice pick. And like I said, you know, it was a failure on the prosecution's part. It's something that we can put in contrast here. When you look at the comments, you know, you're hearing these brutal social media posts and commentaries, as though, and look, you know, we're not gonna duck this shit. We ain't gonna pretend, you know, that it ain't been said or that it emerges from something. We ain't gonna pretend that it doesn't emerge from anything. You know, straight up, you know, because we can make the same kind. We can draw a parallel in sentiments here. All we got to do is just look at 9/11. That's all we got to do. All we got to do is look at 9/11. As a matter of fact, there's video footage. There's video, and every year, you know, the same song and dance. Now, I say the same song and dance. No disrespect to you know, the persons whose lives were squandered for a handful of rich white men. You know, but anyway, you will see the footage where these New Yorkers, these white men, they're filled with rage. They're filled with rage. You know, and one of them is saying, and some of them, you know, we ought to just nuke the whole Middle East and get and kill every Muslim. You know, where was the white outrage over that? Where was it? Where was the outrage over those comments? And why did he make those comments? Those comments had to be predicated on something. And this is what we're made to forget. This is what we're psyched up to turn loose. We're psyched up to turn loose this kind of shit and see no predicate in it. Only the apples on the tree. You know, this working on the mind, on the psyche of black people has been so severe. You know, that we'd actually believe the shit. That we actually believe that this hasn't anything to do with anything, and especially the fact now that we've experienced a black president, you know, somebody who looked like us. He may have looked like us, but he wasn't from us. He looked like us, but he wasn't from us. You know, but yeah, you can make the same correlations here, as though these comments are made and they ain't predicated on anything. You know, similar cases you can think of where there's been cops who were murdered and killed and whatnot. The execution of Alton Sterling and so forth. You know, the backlash from a brutal situation, from a brutal reality. You know, and this is what it is. This is what it is. They'll even be those that say, well, are you talking about killing cops? No. What we're talking about here is the predicate, and that Patrick Henry said, give me liberty, give me death. You know, when you're talking about King George, who was referred to as a tyrant by a man who had other people as slaves and could not even see himself in the equation. He couldn't see himself in the equation as a tyrant, but he saw King George as a tyrant. which means that only their whiteness counted. Only their whiteness. It wasn't nothing else that counted. Two Georges is opposed to each other on some political shit. You know what I'm saying? On management. Pretty much what it was. You see? One didn't want to be a colony anymore. One wanted to keep it as a colony. Pretty much what it is. You know, imperialism against domesticism. Yeah? But they can't see the other. There's this shit called the other. You know, there's even, like, you will see some of these books and whatnot, where they talk about the other. What is the other? What is the other? The other is the people who are outside of the white worldview of things in terms of how things gotta go or how they ought to be. And if you buck against that, then you don't count. You're seen as irrational. You're seen as unreasonable. You know what I'm saying? You're seen as with mental issues, with mental problems, and violence solves nothing. Two wrongs don't make it right. But on 9/11, everything was in vogue. Everything was in vogue. There was no holes barred. The sentiments were the lines were drawn in the sand. They were drawn in the sand. As a matter of fact, there was a spike in violence against Muslims in New York as a result of that. Post 9/11, it was a spike in violence against Muslims, innocent Muslims. Some of these Muslims just as loyal to the state, you know, as a white Christian is. They're just as American as some of these white Christians are on that day. But they weren't having that shit after that. They weren't having it. Some of those same ones who were claiming to be Americans with them the day before, they was having lunch together and everything else. But the day after, they weren't trying to hear that. They were expressing their sentiments. You know, those sentiments, they had blood in their eye. And so the prosecution wouldn't dare have touched that. Wouldn't have dared have touched that. Wouldn't have dared to, even though he knows that the commentary that he's holding up on that board is predicated on something. So what he had to do, he had to pretend that it wasn't predicated on anything at all, period. You know, again, 9/11 is a classic case. Osama bin Laden became the world's most wanted man on the list. So much so that the night that they claimed that they killed him and this movie, this fabulous movie they made, Zero Dark 30, something like that they had made, right? And I remember because it was football night or something. It might have been Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football. And the whole satellite system, the whole computer chip system, which under which all cell phones are controlled, right? Under which all cell phones are controlled. Just like they send an Amber Alert or emergency weather thing. Everybody gonna get it, whether you like it or not. Your phone could be off. Bill ain't paid or nothing. It still goes and comes to your phone. So on that night, What do you see? The people in the stands of that football game getting texts that Osama bin Laden is what is dead. And what are they doing? Celebrating. They're celebrating their enemy's death. Celebrating. No, nobody's feeling sorry. Nobody's saying, well, two wrongs don't make it right. You know? Nobody's saying that. Ain't nobody trying to hear that shit at all, period. Be glad the nigga dead. Simple. Ain't nobody debated. Nobody get on none of the radio shows, none of the TV shows, nothing. It was clear He was hated. They hated Osama bin Laden. Why did they hate Osama bin Laden? Because Osama bin Laden was so, we were told that Osama bin Laden was a terrorist. And so it was no coincidence that they put the trial on the same day as 9/11 commemoration. For those of you who think that Odell Wilder's case, which commenced on the 11th, was a pure coincidence, get you a shrink. Go get some help. If you think that was coincidence, and I don't mean to be condescending, you know what I'm saying? But that was no coincidence. The sentiment was subliminally, cop killer, terrorist. The pain, the anguish, the hurt is equivalent to the pain, the anguish, and the hurt caused by Officer Randall's death at the hands of a cop killer, therefore terrorist. And you know how I know that? Because the FBI's enhanced counterintelligence program has what's called black identity extremists. Black identity extremists is the equivalent or synonymous, or it's a synonym of terrorists. And that is why they strategically planned his trial on the 11th, hoping that it would have an effect in the courtroom also. And so to make invisible the predicate and turn it into a full-blown picture with no brain to establish a cold-blooded, callous, a calculating cop killer for no reason at all. And this is the type of psychological war, you know, that face on a daily basis. It takes someone of us to, I guess, have the, let me see if I can say it both ways here, and I try to, you know, we could never, you know, leave out, like, you know, black women in the shit, you know. I've learned to say the average Joe and Joanne, you know, realizing that we've all been affected by white male patriarchal rule, and it doesn't register sometimes. You know, and, you know, it's like, you know, we have to take ourselves back from that type of pathetic barbarism, you know. But, you know, take a brother and a sister to have the balls and the breasts, you know, to say some things that need to be put out, you know, that need to be explained, that need to be put in the proper perspective without all the bullshit. You know, without all the rhetoric, all the spontaneousness, or just going off of some wild tangent and not actually being practical with it. You know, because, you know, we develop the mentality sometimes that, well, you know, if somebody can come along and refute it or put it to whatever, you know, then, you know, feel free to do so. It's not the end of the world. It means we have to go back to the lab with the shit. You know what I'm saying? But we will point those things out, you know, due to the irreconcilable relationship, you know, that we have with the state. And, of course, the appeal, the charge of manslaughter. The one thing, too, I don't want to forget this, the one thing about When the prosecutor tried to corner Ozone with the weapon, and he tried to use the state code of what's legal and what's illegal in terms of being in possession of a firearm, and he attempted to paint a full-blown picture, like someone who unfortunately develops full-blown AIDS, you know, and they check out, right? And so he attempted to paint this full-blown picture of a concealed weapon. And there's a number of things too, you know, that he tried to lead Ozone into, you know. But that was one of them. When he says, well, your understanding and whatnot, so my understanding, you a security guard, right? Okay, when you're a trained security guard, or you're not aware of these laws, the security guard and whatnot, and the state does that stuff, but he sought to use those types of things as a threat because, again, you know, he had nothing, right? But he got to the point where he said, well, okay, well, since you understand, do you agree? And he kept saying, well, he'll make a statement and say, you agree with me, right? See, that's leading. That's social engineering. Right? That's social engineering. And so you agree with me, right? And so on and so on and so on. So and then he said, well, you tell Officer Rand that you had a weapon. Since you know, those type of things. But it wouldn't occur to you that so well, what's the flip side of it? What's the flip side of it? Is my car an extension of my house? You know, is my car an extension of my house? For the fact that technically I'm still in my car because I'm sitting on the seat. It's just that my door is open. You see? So what gives? And this is one of the things, you know, I think that's kind of be raised, you know, after the fact or whatnot, you know. But, yeah, and so the other thing that would come to mind, being on private property as opposed to public property and having a concealed weapon, which is against the law. But did it ever occur to some of us, and it may have, and I'm quite sure it did, about being on private property and the fact that he's entering his private property as a private citizen, and for the fact that, making the transition from his car to his domicile, okay, and placing his weapon in a position where it can be secure because he had other things in his hand. You see, but the prosecutor tries to negate all of that and go strictly into state law, and so therefore you were in violation of the law. You see, now that may have been one of the things that, if anything, that the jury could lean on in terms of the prosecutor and so forth. But everything else is land, yeah. You know, but this is the type of you know, the things that you know, we have to encounter, you know, in this war of contrition. You know, it is a war of contrition. There's these terminologies that use asymmetrical warfare and whatnot, you know, the military and how they've got more into asymmetrical warfare, all these, you know, these different types of things because, you know, those who have not had access to the technology have found other ways to fight their wars, you know, and which is historic, you know. But we one of the things we want to touch on, and I hope I'll be able to get, you know, to is two more that I wanted to focus on here. The second one, I think I can. Speak along the lines of a young brother named Malik Chavis, who last year, 2022, October 8th, Baton Rouge, you know, young man living in Baton Rouge, staying at an apartment complex. Matter of fact, you know, to my understanding, is not too far from the Louisiana State or University, LSU, you know, campus. And, you know, the young brother, you know, told us what, you know, gave us a play-by-play. And so we just wanted to bring that up, you know. And like I said, you know, some people's cases don't get exposure as certain others. And there's dozens of them. There's dozens of them, you know. But anyway, this young man ended up being shot several times right outside of his apartment complex, outside of his door. He lives on the second floor. And his unit is like the last unit on the end of one of the, you know, the buildings, you know, how buildings, you know, building A, building A, and so forth like that, right? Well, and there's these like double stairways that face each other, and you go up, and when you go up the steps to get to his unit, you know, you just, it's a little short little, you know, a little short little X amount of little feet there, and then you turn like right, and his unit is right there. And so this young brother, you know, he said that he was sitting out, you know, in front of his place in the chair, and he's friend of his, they were waiting on, they were going to, you know, maybe barbecue or something like that. And it said that they heard some gunshots off in the distance and whatnot. And his neighbor, another young brother, you know, they were saying, you know, yeah, you know, you hear that, so forth like that. And in the meantime, there had been a call, a call and response about a person who seems to have had some type of mental issues. Like, you know, this mental issue shit has become so in vogue too, you know, which is resulted in a number of police executing black men. You see what I'm saying? But anyway, this call about a person who seemed to be having some problems or something like that or whatever, and you know, and all this on, you know, can't make shit up. All this on, you know, the body cam video, right? And so what happens is, you know, you see them there, and it appears to be another black man or what have you, and they're talking to him and whatnot. And I think some kind of way, I don't know if they were able to iron it out or something like that. Whatever. You can't really like hear any like audio or whatnot like that. But some, you know, these tactics that they use with the body cam and whatnot. But anyway, that is the reason why the pig showed up in the first place. It had nothing to do with Brother Malik. He was minding his own business. He's off in a whole nother different world. And so what happens is this call and response just so happened to turn into something else, which in fact becomes another case of the pigs themselves claiming, you know, that they heard, you know, the gunshots too, like off in the distance somewhere. And so you see on the body cam where they, you know, where the one who was in taking the leads, so to speak, and you know, they turn and go in another direction. And this direction that happened to go in just happened to be the direction of you know, where, you know, young Malik's, you know, building is, you know, his building, right? And so, you know, when you look at the you know, the bottom of the video, and what they do is they put the, you know, like little words at the bottom, you know, say, you know, gunshot, other gunshot, stuff like that, you know, to give the, you know, the viewing audience idea of what's taking place here. Well, anyway, you see, you know, this so-called officer on the ground, and he goes to like the end, and then next thing you know, he goes up some steps, and it happened so fast. You know, Malik said it happened so fast, you know, but he had taken his weapon and put it on his lap, you know, because he didn't know where it was coming from, and, you know, he putting his weapon on, you know, purely for his own protection, you know, you know, minding his own business. And that's normal. There's nothing abnormal about that at all, period. You know, this is the Wild Wild West, you know, Everybody's not stuck on stupid. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. But anyway, so that's the case. And like I said, you know, next thing you know, you see, you know, this pig going up the steps, and he cut around the corner, and you see, you know, Malik said that he looked up, and it, you know, startled him, or, you know, frightened him or whatever. It's a light, you know, and it happened so fast. And the little buddy, he literally tells us what he attempted to do. He literally tells us what he didn't do. He's been honest. He said, yeah, man, you know, my weapon on my lap. And I looked up, and this motherfucker was like, and I, you know, reaching my shit, you know, to cop my shit, because I knew who the fuck they were, you know, like anybody else would do. And turned out, they got shot several times. Now, when they show you the body cam video, they show you whatnot, then they managed to show another, his partner. And through his partner's body cam, you see the officer laying in the grass like he should have ate his fucking leaders or something. He was breathing heavily and whatnot, laying in the grass. And so, you know, you can see that. Now, this is a classic example of waging a disinformation campaign against a young brother. In our view, that, of course, you know, the state sees is worthless to a certain extent, other than as a exploited source of labor. You see, so his value can fluctuate, all depends on what the situation is. And we have to put it that way. We have to put it like that, you know, really get people to understand this shit, right? So, but anyway, so all of this is on body cam video, what Malik describes. You know, looking at the body cam video, that's exactly what you see. You know, you see his eyes like, you know, his eyes just like they're about to pop out of his head. You know, when he looks up, you know. And you can clearly see the little brother, you know, grabbing his weapon to, as is said in common police parlance, wrap him one in the chamber, which is common police language, wrap one in the chamber, you know, and therefore it's ready to be fired. But he didn't get a chance to complete the process because he got shot, you see. And the reason why this pig go up the stuff because he could hear Malik. He could hear Malik. He could hear the music. So it wasn't a gunshot that led him up there. It wasn't a gunshot at all, period. You heard the little brother. That's why you went up there. You ain't go up there because you heard gunshots upstairs. You didn't hear that. And that's how it is. So what the pigs decide to do, they go and look at the video for just always, you know. They go on and examine what they have and what we came up with, just like somebody go fishing. You know, they don't stand there, you know, and just, you know, examine the fish on the spot. So they take the fish off, put them in the ice chest or igloo or whatever, the container. They do all that when they get home. Oh, how many I have? And, oh, this is a nice big one. Oh, this is a trout. Oh, this is it. You know, they do that when they get to where they at, right? So that's what they did. So they looked at it. Now they got to construct the story. Something has to come out of it anyway. So this is what they did. They took the video, played it because it was only released because it would favor their narrative. That's the only reason why they released it. Because we know they have a history of doing that. If it doesn't favor the narrative, what do? They stonewall and stonewall and stonewall and stonewall and stonewall. They even say, oh, well, the footage ain't clear, you know, the footage ain't clear, or the cameras wasn't working, or whatever. But if they feel that it favors them, and times where they construct the story and it appears to favor them, so this is what they did. They show the involved officer coming around the corner, and you see Malik doing exactly what he said that he was trying to do. But what they did was they froze the video strategically and then drew a circle around the weapon and say, here is where the, forget what they use, suspect, whatever, you know, points his weapon at the officer. That's what they did. Here's where he points the weapon at the officer to make the video fit the written narrative. They put the written narrative out first, and the public internalizes it. And then they come behind that with the video footage and construct the case and use, again, using philosophy, using the art of logic and persuasion to convince the viewing audience that that is what he actually did. Because they believe that people are that gullible to believe the story. Not only did they do that, as always, there's a spokesperson for the pigs. Right? A lot of times it's a sergeant, lieutenant, or whatever they put having their press conference. So here you see in one of the reports, the pig is out there. The reporter goes and they ask him. And what does he do? He takes the account. These are three different scenarios intertwined into one. Three different episodes that intertwine, weaved into one to get the general public to condemn Malik. So what did the pig say? He says that a call was put out, the third person, whatever, stuff like that, who illegally discharged a firearm, and he ended up, you know, just that and other stuff like that, literally. Now, let us ask, where did he get that story from? How did that story come into evolution? That is no more nor less for those who've been around long enough to understand what is referred to as a disinformation campaign. It waged a disinformation campaign to do what? To cover their asses. Another one that I saw, another report, which was a white female, for another one of the local news stations. She goes out on site after the fact. You know, they send them out, you know, on site or whatever location. Sometimes they be live or what have you, right? And what does she say? She goes so far and says it was a shootout. You know, and I mean, perhaps the most damning of them all was that one. Now, let us ask again, how did she get around to that story? There ain't both two scenarios, one of two, as to how she got around to that story. A, she willingly and consciously knowing that the story was false, that it was bullshit, and she willingly took part in it. B, she was given disinformation unbeknownst to her, which means she was ignorant of it. And that is this thing referred to as a need-to-know basis. This is all you need to know. Put the story in a rotation. That's a Machiavellian strategy. They use that in the military. Okay? Those are only two possible explanations for the story. But she said, shootout. Now, the back part of the video, you see Malik like standing up, you know, he said that it was like, come down now, things like that. And so you see him sort of sliding down, like, you know, on his ass, like, you know, whatever, you know. And the interesting part about that is that he actually knew the second officer, actually knows him. Yeah. And you see, you could see this on video. You can see the correspondence between them on the video. And this is what happened to this young brother. And so what gives? They want to charge him with assault on the police officer and the illegal discharge of a firearm. If he had been the one firing the weapon, then obviously an investigation has to ensue. And the thing that would come to people's minds the things that would come to people's minds would be what? Would be what? Where is the evidence? Where are the shell casings to show that he discharged his weapon? And
New rule, Chairman.
And remember, go ahead, Conrad. What we got?
And also, if it was like that, the body camera would show the pigs going straight to young brother Malik, not going in the opposite direction. And when they can't find nothing, then come to him. Because, I mean, if it was said that, you know, he was the person of interest, quite naturally, mm-hmm. they would have came straight to him instead of going around
right.
and then can't find nobody
right.
and then going to him.
That's right.
Like
because that's right. Yeah, you hit it right on the head. You see him go to the end. You don't see him go straight to the steps. You see him go to the end, like where the end is, like a car can park on the end. You see him go to the end, look around that corner, and then he goes back and then go up the steps, right? Is that right? Yeah, there you go. And that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. And it wasn't no one gunshot fire, because they shot fire, another shot fire. Okay. Now, where's the shell casings? So they have all types of holes in their story. So we understand that we speaking on facts here. And so because of that, we understand, we see why now the pigs have to construct the story. You know, they got the makeup charges on him. So they have to make up charges. Now, we're not going to leave this out. He had told us that those clothes he had on just happened to be the same clothes he had on. He had, you know, legally bought, you know, whatever weapon from a friend of his, something. He said he went to, you know, the test to see if it fired. And, of course, we know gun residue can go, it can travel, you know. And that is about all they had. But where is the hardcore evidence? Where you know, you know what I'm saying? You know, they show us, the state is always trying to dazzle us. And they're always trying to have us in awe of their technology, of their intelligence, you know, science. And, you know, they put the CSI shit. They got CSI New Orleans. Nah, I think LL Cool J is on CSI, whatever. But anyway, you know, that's their whole mission, you know, to have us in awe, you know, of the things that they've came up with. There's no crime that's unsolvable and whatnot, you know. So where's all of that? Where's all of that? You know, where's all that? You know, to show that, you know, his weapon was this sharp. Where's all of that? So you don't hear none of this. What you hear is well-crafted stories, which is a disinformation campaign against him. Because remember, the goal in the society, this is the trick. The goal in American society, whenever the wings, the military wing of the state, just quickly, the military wing of the state, first line of defense is the police. Okay, the second line of defense is the National Guard. The third line of defense is the so-called official army, right? You know, land, water, sea. Land, air, sea. Okay, now that we got that, to build a case to legitimize going to war, to legitimize killing people. What is it that, in their view, the ingredient, the backing of the people, the backing the American people to make it appear to be what? To make it appear to be a democracy. But let us ask, did George Bush them do that? The Cheney, you know, and I love, you know, look, you know, some people know him as, what his name is, Donald Rumsfeld, right? You know, we renamed him Donald Scumsfeld, you know. And so Cheney and the gang, you know, they little prostitute, you know, kind of skis or rights, Wolfowitz, and all the rest of them. What did they do? Was they trying to hear that shit? No. The American public was against that. What did they do? What did they do? The war of the willing. If you ain't with us, then you're against us. So was that democracy? They showed you right to your face. Right to your face. You see that's the jig, but the jig is up. You know, the roots up, the chicken will come home, the roots. It is what it is. You know, but that's been the get up. Get the American people to back us. Get the American people, you know, and we good. Because that showed, that's the difference between the democracy and the dictatorship. The dictatorship, they just, the dictator, he just goes to war regardless of what people think. Well, George Bush, none. No different than the rest of the, you know, leaders around the world who they want us to be, believe the dictator. But that's the whole point. So you have to get the public behind you. This is why they waged this information campaign against Malik, to get the public behind them. So for future reference, in case there's a trial, then it's already a preconceived foregone conclusion. And so therefore, he could never get a fair and impartial jury or trial. We'd have to move the shit to Mars. We'd have to move the shit to Mars and choose 12 alien jurors. In order for it to actually be legit, you see? And then you'll get the I'll say, yeah, you got 10 white people, yeah, it's one of them, you know, like, tripping off that, but that's the whole point of it all, and this, you know, this is like the latest on the war front, you know, this is what it is, and only our solidarity. Only our solidarity in the most practical of ways, in the most realistic combination that we can get it, that we can have. Because right? All this shit ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. There has to be a combination of solidarity. And that has to be, whatever that solidarity is, it's going to be the strongest one. It'll be the strongest one. I've said in the past, learning and understanding Chairman Mao, observing and studying his people, how he drew the conclusion of the different sectors within, you know, the Chinese society, you know, the different subsets and stuff, you know. Some of the terms may be brutal. You know, I'm always mindful of the word nigger. You know, it's not that I'm totally insensitive or whatnot, but it's a political expression. It's a political term. In other words, the niggas act out what the white cultural abnormality presents. Those are just the ones who act it out because of the material conditions. So we have Africans, Black Negroes, and niggas. So we had better figure out which is the combination of the four that we're going to have to put together. If you ask me, I think the best combination is the Africans and the niggas. We can count the Negroes out. We can count them out. We can count them out. You know, one or two of them going to come around, but we can count them out. Overall, we can count them out. What did Malcolm say about the house nigga? What did he say? It's very clear. You know, but they have to get the public behind them. And this has been used so much against dead black men who were executed, who were lynched. You know? Who were lynched. These charges that they level against, you know, assaulting a police officer, that's a technicality. You know, some of these states, you know, there's differences now. You know, I don't know if it's typical, but I know that the word assault is like a typical understanding that, you know, Or he got busted over the head, you know, punched in the jaw or whatnot, you know, something like that, you know, some physical contact where which resulted in injury, whether minute or severe, that led to death, right? So the understanding of assaulting a police officer, what is that? In other states, the physical part is battery. It's called battery. At some point, I didn't even fully get it. You know, but that's okay. That's how we elevate our consciousness. You know, we go through that process. But anyway, in some states, it's battery. And that the assault was the verbal part. The verbal part. So don't try to make that assault on the police officer. So which one is it? Is it the physical or is it the verbal? Because it never came into physical contact with any of the two at all, period. So again, they have to construct a case here. Because there were no shots fired in his part. There was no aiming his weapon at no pig. You clearly see him pick up his weapon. And as the pig said, he tried to rack one in the chamber. And when you look and see how he was so startled, that fear of, you can frighten people. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're scary. You know, fright doesn't equate to a person who's, like when they say scary. That doesn't equate to that. You know, a sudden burst against somebody. It can happen to any individual. You know, but you clearly see that. And so the other thing I don't want to leave it. The fact that the media played its part. And so therefore, in the future, there must be a retraction of the story. You know, and an address to the public audience, that they be made aware of it, and an apology. You know, for future reference. And let no pig defame you like that, and you stand by idly and do nothing. In the legal realm, that's what you call defamation in a court of law, a civil suit. You see? Now, the last thing I want to touch on is actually something that came about from, last night. Yesterday, it was the same young brother who, was able to broadcast the Ozone trial. And where he had, like I say, uses his talent, his ability, the form of black media. It's not CNN, it ain't Fox, MSNBC or what have you. But it's something that our people can learn from. Every avenue or channel of media counts. Whichever way we can exploit it. But anyway, the young brother had some sisters on his show, and the topic was in reference to this individual named Ahmaud Muhammad, who comes find as a sexual offender, registered sex offender, usually with minors or children, what have you, but they were on there discussing this individual who had been in one of the two formations, known as the New Black Panther Party. This particular formation was under the leadership of one Malik Zulu Shabazz. And he had been kicked out, you know, recently, if I'm not mistaken. But the thing is that these sisters say they had been caught that on the radar, and they feel that, you know, it may have been lax or a lack of a severe response to this individual, his rap sheet or what have you. And then there's something also, gang rape or something. But anyway, the point was that the sister was on there, and they were expressing their grievances with the militant movement and what have you. And there's really nothing wrong with that, you know, at all, period. Black women have been with us since day one. They've been an instrumental part in our survival as black men. There's no, you know, denying that. There's no, you know, I'm trying to the words for it. You know, sometimes it's difficult, you know, because of what black women ought to mean to us. I mean, after 500 years of white Eurocentric terrorism on all these different fronts and stuff. But anyway, the number of individuals that come on, it was a couple of brothers come on and whatnot, you know, and they were just, again, they were talking, and it appears that this same Ahmad Muhammad, once he had got kicked out of the New Black Panther Party, or finally, you know, is how the sisters see it, you know, he had started his own formation. I believe there's a photo or two I think I've seen of him and whatnot, and, you know, trying to start some new Panther thing or whatever. And the fact that he's still operating in the midst of children, you know, and which is very, 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 very disconcerting. You know, it's a severe problem here. And, you know, getting the perception of how is he able to keep doing what he's doing, you know, and still being in the midst of our children, you know. What it is, and one of the sisters said she had received a lot of backlash when she tried to go, you know, rank higher, ranking superior officers, whatever, or those who rank above her, whatever. And she said she received a lot of backlash. These sisters, I think the Sisters of the Underground or something like that, if I can remember. But anyway, you know. And she was talking about that, and she had actually hit it. She was talking about, you know, the counterintelligence program. She was talking about how you know the government set up this apparatus through the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, and that they had informants and agent provocateurs and whatnot. What is the agent provocateur? Agent provocateur is someone who provocates. Someone who comes in and creates dissension within the ranks. He can create a situation which may end up in violence. Or it may even turn deadly. And so this is one of the strategies they use. And there's this pattern. There's this pattern here where these individuals have like these similar profiles, and it's usually centered around some type of sexual violations, and, you know, yeah, and there's a pattern here. See, and he fits that mold. And what was interesting is that the sister, they was trying to figure out how, you know, looking at his rap sheet, and how is it that he's able to, you know, have this rap sheet, and he ain't hardly spend any time behind bars. You see, and that's when you have to start really, really thinking and asking yourself, something's really going on here, something's really, really taking place here. And you have to draw a conclusion that conclude. And there's other individuals that sister reminded me of. So there's this cat named Mandingo Hayes, who's been on the West Coast in Oakland. Lord knows where he's at, what he's doing now. But I literally saw a video of this individual named Mandingo Hayes, you know, in action, you know. And brothers didn't waste any time in drawing a conclusion. I mean, they hesitate to aid the provocateur. You know, he's an informant, agent provocateur, slash agent provocateur. And so this is what this Ahmad Muhammad individual is. You know, this is why he has gotten the treatment that he's gotten as opposed to James around the corner who got 20 years, 25 years, you know, to life and whatnot, you know, for the same infractions, for the same severe infractions that he committed. You see what I'm saying? And so he's in our midst. And the state is clearly told the black militant movement that we're going to ramp up our operations. We're going to infiltrate every organization. We're going to increase our informant, our agent provocateurs all over the country. All over the country. Back in the 60s, they had what was called GIP. That was an acronym for the Ghetto Informant Program. And they had, to my understanding, 5,000 recruits in GIP. And so you can imagine the magnitude of the infiltrations of the black militant organization, the Black Panther Party, Revolutionary Action Movement, Republic of New Africa, and so forth. You know, the underground, you know, movement and stuff like that. And this is what it is today. The only thing that's changed is the times. You know, the one is gone, the nine is gone, and the 2 6s is gone, or the 6 and the 7 is gone, the 6 and the 8 is gone, the 6 and the 9 is gone. The 1, 9, and the 7 is gone. There's a 0 there. 0 is just not a second number in the timeline. It's 2023. And they've innovated, gotten more sophisticated with their operation. You know, we have a few minutes left, and maybe, you know, come back, you know, next week. I don't want to, you know, just skim over it. But we really wanted to get into it. And so, you know, we'll pick up next week. But I just want to say this here. It is very clear. Sometimes, you know, it may take all of our brains to figure this shit out. You know, it may take all of us, you know, to get to the bottom of it and help those of us who don't fully understand why this nigga ain't behind bars, why is he out, why is he still a misfile children, you know. And the sister had said something to the effect where he has photos like right now, you know, as we speak, photos, he posted, you know, with children, you know, and I think I saw one where they looked, you know, there's these children, and they're showing him like they're in some type of, you know, stand information and what, like, yeah, like literally. And so it's like he's posting these pictures. He's posting these pictures on his page. It's like, yeah, you know, yeah, look at me, you know, yeah, I'm serious. Yeah, look at me. Yeah, that's right. There's something that, he said, but yeah, what the fuck y'all gonna do about it? Look at it. What the fuck you gonna do about it? This is how the sister was painting the picture. This is how she was saying it. And you looking at that and you just knowing it, you understand it. This is what it is. He's untouchable. He's untouchable for a reason. To do what? To infiltrate the movement. And this pattern that he showed, the audacity, you know, some of us say his audacity, the nerve, to start Black Panther organization. You know what I'm saying? So look, we're gonna stop right here. We're gonna come back. I mean, we're going to get down with this shit. We're going to go more into it. And this is, you know, the latest on the war front, you know, with the topic of the show tonight. And so, you know, stay tuned next week. We're going to pick this back up at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We want to thank those who have been listening. And we hope that you have been, heightening your awareness, heightening your consciousness. And that is the main goal. In the process of liberation, it's a process, and we have to keep on pushing on and keep on moving on and keep pushing on, and we have to keep on saying, I am a revolutionary, and we have to keep on saying and keep on saying and keep on saying, you know what I'm saying? So stay tuned next week, again, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, In Defense of People Radio, brought to you by People's Political Party. I'm the National Chairman, Nat Turner, one of your hosts and my co-host. My brother, my goddamn brother, man, like real time, real talk, you know, our National Minister of Defense, You know what I'm saying? Which is his responsibility and his role. You know what I'm saying? And our other, I threw out the SALT technician on the 1-2, Sister Imano Shum, our national mentor of communication, who really, man, be making shit happen. You know what I'm saying? So we out here. We see you next week. All power.
Money for life, not to stick around till you lose all your shit to the fight.
You got to see.